On Easter Monday, we recognize that the world is fundamentally different. As resurrection people, we're invited to step into this new reality here and now. To do so means we participate in Christ's death so we can participate in his resurrection. This is our hope. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Hello again, friends, and welcome back to Common Prayer for Tuesday, April 14th. I hope this is finding you well. I hope you've been able to maybe get outside on a balcony or a porch or in your backyard, enjoying this beautiful weather. Yesterday, my wife and my two daughters, as I was working away, actually planted a garden in our backyard. It was just fun to get out there. I was able to help them out and, you know, again, just get your hands a little dirty, enjoy the beautiful, beautiful weather. And plant things. You know, it's funny, Easter season always reminds me of new growth, of new life. And I think there is this kind of urge to get outside in creation, to get out and see the way that the world's changing as spring is upon us, as all of this new vibrancy that even nature is communicating new life to us. And so it's just, again, a beautiful time of year. So I hope you were able to get out and enjoy some of that as well. You know, I want to continue looking at what the resurrection means. It's layers of depth from, you know, we talked yesterday a little bit about how, you know, it means so much for us individually as well as just globally and what it means for creation. And we want to continue to look at that this week. But I want to continue looking at what it means for us individually. And I want to begin to peel back some of those layers as we pray through this. You know, and I think this is, again, why that Easter celebration is for 50 days. It's why it is so long in the church calendar, because it's hard for us to really sit and savor that. I think, you know, part of it is we are meant to marinate in the depth of resurrection. We're meant to savor it and to explore it and to continually seek out and grow into its implications. You know, I think it's interesting that in our present moment, we actually, I think, have a little bit more of an opportunity to do that. You know, normally we'd be rushing back into our regular rhythms. You know, Easter Monday would have just been the next day at work, and we'd have been sitting in traffic and rushing from meeting to meeting. And certainly a lot of our lives may have a bit of that chaos right now as well. But for many of us, it does provide maybe a little bit more time for reflection and a little more time to just sit in gratitude of the resurrection and its depth and implications for us. So I want us to sit in that a little bit. And you know, yesterday we looked at Paul in Philippians, and he was talking about his own encounter. And today I want to look in the book of Ephesians, where Paul again unpacks some of its depth. And so here's a text. It's Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. It's a bit long, but I want to read it anyway. But it says this. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." You know, I love that summary in verse 19. Paul says, you know, it's the resurrection that is the demonstration of the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe. And there's so much truth in that it's in the resurrection that we begin to get a foretaste of new creation right here and right now. That same power that is alive and raising Jesus up from the dead is also alive and within us. And I love backing up one more verse in verse 18, where Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." There's this element of the resurrection hope to which we don't naturally understand. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray, and again, Paul with such pastoral wisdom, looking at this church in Ephesus, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would understand the depth of the hope in the resurrection. And in a lot of ways, this is my prayer, this is our prayer for you, church, is that we would begin to be a church marked by resurrection. That we would understand the depth and the complexity of all that the resurrection entails. That Jesus is starting a new thing. That he is beginning something new, and it is happening right here and right now. As we prayed forever ago in the Lord's Prayer, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That the kingdom of God is breaking forth right here on earth in the Bay Area as it is in heaven. And we have the opportunity to participate in that. So Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So what I want to do for our prayer today is I'm actually going to read a prayer out of this prayer book called The Valley of Vision. And it's a prayer that centers on the idea of regeneration, of new life, of new creation. I think for me, it really captured this concept of our hope being in the resurrection. And so I want to read this. It's fairly long, but I want to read it in a prayerful posture, in a way in which we can encounter God today and maybe reflect a little bit more on that. So to begin again, as we always do, let's take a few deep breaths. And as you take these breaths, again, I want you to come back to the moment. Again, I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Hour by hour, my emotion seems to fly in different directions with all this. Let's take a second and just breathe in your nose and out your mouth. Working to slow down not just your body, but also your heart and your mind, and come back to this moment. As we continue to consider the implications of the resurrection for us, and as we continue to work through the implications of our own death bringing resurrection, of dying to self, of giving our lives over to Jesus, may the words of this prayer remind you of that, and may they be your prayer. O God of the highest heaven, occupy the throne of my heart. Take full possession and reign supreme. Lay low every rebel lust. Let no passion resist your holy war. Manifest your mighty power and make me yours forever. You are worthy to be praised with my every breath, loved with my every faculty of soul, served with my every act of life. You have loved me, espoused me, received me, purchased, washed, favored, clothed, adorned me when I was worthless, vile, soiled, polluted. I was dead in iniquities, having no eyes to see you, no ears to hear you, no taste to relish your joys, no intelligence to know you. But your spirit has quickened me, has brought me into a new world as a new creature, has given me spiritual perception, has opened to me your word as light, guide, solace, joy. Your presence is to me a treasure of unending peace. No provocation can part me from your sympathy. For you have drawn me with cords of love and forgiven me daily and hourly. Oh, help me then to walk worthy of your love, of my hopes and my vocation. Keep me, for I cannot keep myself. Protect me, that no evil befall me. Let me lay aside every sin admired of many. Help me to walk by your side, lean on your arm, and hold conversation with you, that henceforth I may be salt of the earth and a blessing to all. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us in Common Prayer. Our prayer is that our church family would continue to connect with each other and grow in our connection and relationship with God. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed. Music is written and produced by myself, Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back daily for new episodes at cpc.org.